recording this Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program on this Thursday, April 16th. Happy anniversary to you and to Sally. You're going to have a nice weekend.
Yeah, and we're going to New York for the weekend.
I thought so, yeah.
She's going to go visit a gallery that carries her paintings, and then we're going to go to a Broadway play and then come back.
Well done, young man. What number is this?
Been married 46 wonderful years.
We have been talking about it all week, and of course we're in a severe drought right now, if we could start with that.
Yes, we are continuing to be in this drought. Not only that, it is worsening. And I was listening to Jason Boye on WLOS one evening this week, and he was emphasizing how we're in a severe drought throughout Western Carolina and most of the state. And he pointed out that we're now 13 inches, it might be 14 inches now, behind in rainfall since September. To make up that rainfall, which we have to do to break the drought, over the next 30 days getting that much rain, that's about a 2% chance that that'll happen. And then he says, if you take it out to 60 days, it's about a 12% chance that we would get that much rain. And here's what was really chilling to me. He says, if you go to 90 days, which would put us into the summer months, the odds of breaking the drought during the summer is about 30% at best. This is something that won't suddenly go away. It's going to take time for us to regain the loss of that critical rainfall. As a town, we're monitoring that, especially with our water plant. We depend on surface water for our drinking water. We've got protocols in place, and we will start implementing those at the directive of the state.
Fire facilities, they're all getting together, and if they hear of a brush fire, they are mobilized.
Yes, we have a mutual aid network. We're in a critical situation. I was hearing the truck scramble coming down 64 several times this week. If they get a report of a potential brush fire or even a structure fire, anything, they're responding. The North Carolina Forest Service, they're on alert. The Federal Forest Service folks, they are very concerned. It's a cooperative effort to bring all the resources they can to any potential brush fire that could suddenly turn into a wildfire situation like we've been experiencing for weeks throughout Western Carolina.
If anybody sees anybody burning anything in North Carolina, and just there's a number that you want to give everybody,
call this number. That is the non-emergency dispatcher for Macon County. If you see smoke or if you see someone burning, call this number, 828-524-2020. The dispatcher will get an appropriate first responder there to investigate the situation. The state does not want you burning anything. It is a total fire ban. We need to all be cooperative and understand we can't burn outdoors until we get more water and this drought is broken.
Some rain on Monday, but not enough to get that 13 inches for sure.
I've been listening to the Tim Root. It's coming in, and then it's just going to blow right past us. That won't have any impact. Plus, we're having all these winds now in the spring. That's welcomed, but that won't get us anywhere near alleviating the extreme drought situation.
Over the weekend, we had another successful plateau pickup, and thank you for spearheading that for so many years and continuing to do so.
The Chamber of Commerce does a wonderful job in organizing that program, investing in it, getting the volunteers to come to Kelsey Hutchison Park as volunteers. They have a breakfast, they have a lunch afterwards, and it's a great effort from everybody in the community to do spring cleaning on our roadways.
This week, April 22nd, is Earth Day.
It is. I got a theme of protecting the Earth on this program. I think it was in 1970. I was a senior in college going to a program that day, taking a pledge that I'd protect the Earth. 55, almost 60 years later, I hope I've lived up to that. We will be having the white goods program for a week. If you live in the town of Highlands and you have an old appliance and you'd like for it to be removed from your house, you can call Town Hall at 828-526-2020. 2118.
Oh, what I want to do is maybe we can all get pictures of you with your vest picking up something from the road and sending it to your college, and then they can post that every Earth Day.
Yeah, maybe so.
What does the town do with the white goods?
When they get a critical mass and when the price for scrap metal is right, then they will load it up on a truck and they'll take it to a recycling center, and all of that metal is recycled. I've done some research on this, and they can take that type of steel and metal and reprocess it into construction steel. I just want to encourage people, if you do have any kind of white goods or large metal objects, let us know, and during this week we'll be collecting that.
The recycling trailer at the recreation center.
At the Buck Creek Recycling Center, there is a full-time attendant. He makes sure that people put the proper materials in the appropriate bin. At the recreation department.
Don't tell me.
I come there all the time seeing somebody will just take a plastic garbage bag full of whatever and just throw it in one of the bins or leave it by the side. That means that that bin can be contaminated and might not be able to be recycled. We call that aspirational recycling, but that costs money and creates a lot of problems. I get frustrated about this. We talk about it on the radio. I know the people listening to this program are conscientious and won't do that.
You can't see this, but he does get a bit flushed when he's talking about this. Uh-huh. And next week, you got your eye on this. You got to have your eye on the town. You have your eye on the state assembly. And they're passing the state budget. Wait a minute. This is last year's budget.
They're going to go back into session, what we call the short session. They did little stopgap measures. So hopefully they will pass a comprehensive budget. I was in Georgia at the 1st of April, and I was listening to the radio coming back to Highlands. They were about to sine-die their legislative session. That means adjourn. The speaker gets up, hits the gavel, says sine-die. We have a budget passed. We've got all of our laws done. Georgia started their legislative session in beginning of January. They are finished in April. The state of North Carolina legislature just continues all year and doesn't pass a budget. We are working in the town. The Macon County is working on their budget. All the towns and counties are expected to have a complete passed budget to go into place in July 1st. I hope our state could do the same. I'm optimistic that that will take place. One thing that I'm concerned about, a potential piece of legislation in this short session. We have been tracking this. The legislators are talking about passing a bill that would put to the state a referendum that would limit the amount of property tax that a town or a county could pass on its citizens. We haven't had a property tax increase in Highlands in over a decade. The problem that these organizations and all the leaderships in these counties and towns have is that putting a limit could have pretty severe consequences. One, we have to fund things like law enforcement, schools, roads, infrastructure, and to put a cap or limitation on what we need to do when it comes to increasing taxes from the state is to all of us a problem. Over the last decade or so, the state has been deferring a lot of responsibilities to the towns and counties to do, called unfunded mandates. And then we've had to raise taxes and find ways to fund some of these directives and unfunded mandates. So now to come in and try to tie our hands on how much we can increase taxes becomes a problem. And some people might say, well, Mayor, you've got to have a check and balance on these bad actors in the county and in the towns who would, the elected officials who would raise the property taxes. There is a check. It is called the voter of that town or county. If they do not like the tax increase, they have the power to organize and vote people out. I think we need to keep it as is and let the voters in any particular county or town hold their representatives accountable rather than some sweeping legislation throughout the state.
We know what to do for our town, and we don't need to go begging to the state.
We are looking down the road in the next year or so. We're thinking that we will have to increase property taxes if people want the services that they have now and even other services that people would want. We have to consider that. We haven't raised property taxes in Highlands in 10 years, but we need to have the option to be able to those decisions as the community needs certain services.
We've covered that in the past few shows.
Yes.
And Amy Patterson, she went to a county planning board about redistricting. Go get them, Amy, and you.
That's
too.
Right.
We're all concerned about that.
We had attended a public hearing. A lot of people had some good ideas about how we can reorganize the districts. I think the commissioners heard that. They also reorganized the planning board, eliminated the voting members in the towns of Franklin and Highlands. But Commissioner Patterson, being the involved elected official that she is, went to the first planning board meeting of the county, the new planning board. Commissioner Patterson and I and others have done some research on this. Many of us feel like it's time to redistrict, maybe have more districts or reconfigure the districts. There's a movement, I think, in the county to have the people of a district vote for their representative and elect it instead of the countywide system that we have now. You still have voters from throughout the county electing the representatives for the district. We want more representation in the county decision-making process. This is the best system, that election by districts rather than just an across-the-board election that we have now.
Be ever vigilant.
As a community, continue to try to be involved in the planning at the county level. I know Commissioner Patterson is very committed to going to the meetings and learning as much as she can about what is being planned by that committee.
You too, I know, are very concerned about the critical need for affordable housing. I just don't know where you're going to put these homes.
In the past several weeks, I've been having conversations with individuals in the Highlands area. I was puzzled, how can we solve this problem? Should we even try to address it, or will the natural forces solve the problem? And my conclusion is, it won't naturally solve itself. There is a need and a growing need for what we call attainable housing. We can't ignore it. I'm reaching out to different organizations, and this is going to have to be a community effort. Not just the town government will solve this, nor the county government. It has to be a private, nonprofit government partnership. We can do some things in the town. We can look at our zoning ordinances and say, can we change those in some areas to facilitate affordable workforce housing? Can we work with nonprofits, private builders and contractors and developers and organizations to come together and see how we can provide this critical need when it comes to housing?
I think we should let the children do it. You went to the Western North Carolina, the symphony tour, the children's concert at the Bardo Center.
It was a morning concert, and I received an invitation to come and listen to the North Carolina State Symphony. There must have been 500, 600 children and their music teachers there to hear this wonderful concert, which was kind of a teaching concert because the conductor was also explaining the different forms of music. There was one piece that they did, which I've always loved, Beethoven's Ode to Joy. They had the children actually get up and sing the chorus. I didn't really remember or associate the chorus with the beautiful symphonic music. I think it's really appropriate to read it. It goes, "Come and sing a joyful chorus. Lift your voices to the sky. Helping hands now join in friendship, keeping hearts and spirits high. Sister, brother, care for each other. Care for the world and keep it free. Come together, singing together as a peaceful family." And I just thought that was very important in this time of turmoil in the world, ode to hope. that we can find our best selves within us and come together.
And the children will lead them.
There you go.
That's right. And by the way, happy anniversary to you once again, recording this on Thursday, your anniversary with Sally. And then you're on to New York and having a great time out there seeing a Broadway play. Enjoy.
And I'll be back on duty next week.